We are up to Meforshim Day for Perek Ches, the beginning of Parshas Ekev, and right in the first pasuk, you have some interesting things to say. So, Perek Ches, pasuk Aleph. Oh, sorry, today is the 23rd of December, 2019, 25th, first day of Chanukah, 25th of Kislev, Tavshin Pei, and here we go. So, kol mitzvah asher nochi mitzvah chayim. So, all of the mitzvahs. So, Rashi says either kipshuta, similarly, you do all the mitzvahs, things will be good. And then he continues on and says, also kol ha-mitzvah, meaning you have to do all the mitzvah. Don't do half the mitzvah. Don't sort of let it off in the middle. But rather, whoever completes the mitzvah is the one who actually gets credit. So the example that Rashi gives is that of carrying the bones of Yosef out of Mitzrayim and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. So even though Moshe is the one who did all of the hard work, carried the... There's got to be a term to use, but okay. Moshe carried the whole way until he got to Eretz Yisrael. So then he got to Eretz Yisrael. So then he passed away, and the children and the Bnei Yisrael buried him. So who gets credit, say for Yeshua, for the burial of the bones of Yosef? So Bnei Yisrael. He said actually not just for the burial, but the pasuk says v'yasasmos Yosef asher helu Bnei Yisrael mimitzrayim. The Atzmos Yosef, which Moshe brought up, which everyone, Bnei Yisrael, brought up from Mitzrayim, as opposed to Moshe, as it's described earlier. So why is that? Because they're the ones who completed the mitzvah, and therefore they get credit. Now there is a... I keep looking for my underlines and notes, but I actually left my chumash at home, and the Or HaKadosh, so we'll be guessing as to what we should be talking about. But the Or HaKadosh, there's actually a very fascinating Or HaKadosh here. The Or HaKadosh says, why is it, Tzarech Ladas, Ma Mitzvah Hizos, what mitzvah is this referring to? And not only that, but we already referred to all the mitzvahs in the previous, that's how the parsha started off. Ayah Ekev Tishmeu, Eis Kol HaMitzvosai, or Eis HaMitzvosai, that's Tishmeu Es HaMishpatim Eilish V'tem HaSem Uzam, that's what it says, that you're going to listen to all of them. So what is it being added here when it says Kol HaMitzvah, all the mitzvah which I'm commanding you? So he says, Achein, Hin Ha'ish Moshe Hiskil B'libos B'nei Adon, Ki Ruach Echad Yitom K'katan K'gadol, V'hu Sulam L'hamit B'avodas Hashem, V'latzis Miderach Achayim. That Moshe, Masa Haskil, Moshe understood or intuited, in his that in the hearts of people, that ki ruach echad yitam kekatan kegadol, that this could happen, that a person who is little can consider themselves, or either you're large or you're little, you could think of yourself as large or little, v'usulam lahamit, and this is a way of minimizing the avodas Hashem and leave the derech hachaim. What is that? V'hu ki ba'asu sa'adami mitzvah hei beiz o gimel may asher tivoana. That a person does the mitzvos which come to him, and he'll do all the mitzvos that come to him. And not only that, he'll even pick a few that he's going to do with zrizos, that he's going to do with extra care and be very good about it. Yula behem holada rab, that could lead to bad things. Lis atzel b'sharhar mitzvos abayim le'yadam, and he'll be lazy with other mitzvos that come into his hands. That he'll think, oh well, I give a lot of money to Tzedakah, I'm more than I should, and I'm also I go to night seder and I daven a few times with a minyan. So now another mitzvah comes into my hands. He'll say, well, I already do those. What do I have to do these for? And this is specifically an issue, he says, with those that are lomdei b'torah Hashem, those that are learners, those people that spend a lot of time learning. They see some mitzvos as being lesser. Lesser mitzvos, and therefore we're going to and they get cast aside because they say, look, I'm somebody who learns a significant portion of my day, and I do X, Y, and Z, and therefore I don't have to worry about J, Q, and L. So v'zehu asuvi v'yisori hanashin v'yamit kvodim v'yarbi yignusim, and this is what causes problems to people and diminishes their honor because they've lacked this ability of doing all the mitzvahs. He says, "V'nasan tam she'ein alav tshuva v'amr l'man tichyun v'asim etc. Nischavin b'maymer tachyon al derech umram ki v'adam yesh." And he says, "I'll give you the following idea that solves this problem." So he quotes from the Zohar: "Ki v'adam yesh ramach yivarim v'shasal gidim," that a person has 248 limbs and 365 sinews. And based on that, we have to keep the 365 negative mitzvahs and the 248 positive mitzvahs. That's what it says. That's the words. Yeah, that a person is going. So a person has all these limbs and all of these sinews, and he's got a problem with one of them. And he says, "I'm sick with one of them." So will he accept consolation for his pain when you tell him? But Amar lo halach leich ramachi varu mehem ramos shleimim. Right, you go to the doctor, you complain about your tennis elbow, and he says, "Well, look, you got 247 limbs that are all right. What are you complaining about? One joint, right?" Doesn't work. And if a portion of the 248 is ill, so you won't accept that type of consolation. It needs to be all working in tandem. And that's what the Or HaChaim says. That's what is being referred to in this pasuk. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzvavcha. All of the mitzvahs mean you got to maintain all the mitzvahs. One has to attempt to be totally consistent. It doesn't mean that a person might not take specific mitzvahs and take extra care for them. Now, people have their mitzvah that they really like. You know, like mezuzah, for example. Something like that, right? That people get into specific. That's okay, but one cannot do that at the with the neglect of other mitzvos. And he continues on and says the Or HaChaim. That explains some of the Yom Tishrei. Says Laman Tichyun Urvitem Uvatem Virashim Es Haaretz Asher Nishpal LaHashem LaAvozichem. He gives pshatim for all of those. My favorite here was that Uvasem Kana Iram HaAra Gedola. That in this you will then come in and inherit the land. This is a great point. Ki Mi Lanu Gadol B'Mitzos Uvados Hashem Kemoshe Neman HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That who is like us, like Moshe Rabbeinu? V'lo V'tzei Yulman. Go and learn. Shva Achas Alsa Lo B'Yes HaAretz. That because of one mistake, he's not coming into the land. He can't even come there even after his death. And this should be a sign that you have to go ahead and make sure to do all of the mitzvos in there and be totally full with them. V'chutz midarkenu, and besides that, nischavin b'maymar tishmerun la'asos. And we've talked about this before. Hayom tishmerun lasos. What does it mean, tishmerun lasos? How do we translate that? So you're going to watch in order to do them. Be careful to do them. So the Or HaChaim invokes here that what does the word tishmerun mean? Lomar, I think the Or HaChaim has quoted this in other places. Lomar shetzarach shiyeh adam yoshev umitzape matai tavo lidei mitzvah lasosa. That person should sit and they should wait and desire, when will this mitzvah come into my hand? Where do we get this idea from? That the idea of Shamur Hayom Tishmerun La'asos actually means that one should desire, one should anxiously wait for something to come. So it was in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Vayeshev, that after Yosef gives over his dreams, so what does it say? The brothers all said, brothers all got angry, it says. And what does it say by V'Yakov? Shamaris Hadavar. Yaakov is Shamar Tavar. So in fact, the footnote here points to that pasuk. It says, Al pi ma shekasuv v'avi Shamar Tavar. Now, it doesn't give you any more than that, but if you look at Rashi on that pasuk says, what does it mean? His father waited. That's what it literally means. So Rashi says, his father waited and anticipated, looked forward to the day when Yosef was going to be ruling over the rest. That's what the word Shamur means. So there is a, so the Rabbi J.J. Schachter is fond of quoting a comment from the Oev Yisrael, Sefer Oev Yisrael, Rav Heschel, I forget the first name. The Rabbi Heschel, who was in the seminary in the 40s and 50s, so his great-great-grandfather, the Abter Rav, was... Yeah, so he wrote a sefer called O of Yisrael, and he points out there that just as Shomer, when it comes to Yaakov Shamar Sadavar, waited and anticipated, that's what it also means to be a Shomer Shabbos Jew. A Shomer Shabbos Jew is somebody who is waiting and anxiously looking forward to Shabbos is coming. And so you get into the idea that I think we came up in the Musar of the last parak, that the idea of being a Shomer Shabbos, a Shabbos Jew versus a Erev Shabbos Jew, that Rav Soloveitchik laments the idea that even though we may have Shomer Shabbos Jews in America, we have lost Erev Shabbos Jews in America, that we don't sit and wait and look forward and anticipate the idea of Shabbos is coming. In fact, I could come to think of it, Friday night when I was flipping through one of the Magid books in order to find a story to say to give in the drasha the next morning, so I came across a story that there was a yeshiva, you know, in Europe, if you were in the yeshivas in Lithuania, so yeah, they didn't have dormitories, they didn't have meals, you rented a room in someone's house and you found people to feed you during the week. So it tells the story of Yeshiva Bach who was staying in a certain person's house, and the man was going out on Shabbat on Friday morning, and his wife said, "Don't forget, you better be back by Chatzos. You better be back by midday." Mm-hmm. And Yeshiva Bach was a little puzzled, like, what's the big deal? He's not going that far. He's going next town over is not that far away. And at 11:55, she's sitting and waiting by the window. Where is he? He's got to come back. And he asked her, and then she came in. He came in. He said, "Oh, good." And then she like set the table for Shabbos. Like, okay, now we can, you know, Shabbos is ready. It's like, what's going on? Like, you know, still a couple hours left. So the Yeshiva Bach asked, he's like, "What's the big deal? What are you doing?" He said, "Because when we didn't have children for many years, then we finally had a child, and then the child got sick. So we brought the child to Vienna to the doctors in Vienna." And they no one could figure out how to cure this child. And I was walking in the streets in Vienna, very sad and forlorn. And someone came to me and said, "What's the problem?" I told them the issue. They said, "Well, look, you know, if you're going back to Lithuania, why don't you stop in Raden and get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim?" So she said, "Okay." So she, "Well, why not?" So she stopped in Raden. Apparently, the way he describes the story, the Chafetz Chaim was already much older at this point, wasn't really seeing people. But she begged and she pleaded, and she was able to get an audience with the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim says, "Okay, I think your child can be healed. You have to promise to do two things." And I'm afraid to say that there are two things, because I forgot what the second one was. But one of them was that your table should be set every Erev Shabbos by Chatzos. That was one of them. The other one also had to do, and she's like, "Okay, that doesn't sound too hard." Like, all right, I'll. You know, she's waiting for something about fasting for 40 days. All right, yeah, I can handle that. And the other one also had to do with Shabbos. I forget what the other side was. Did it update? Ah. So anyways, that's this idea. Okay. So now that we've done Pasuk Aleph. Continue on a little bit. What else do we got? So there are a bunch of interesting Rambans over the course of the parak here. Yeah. So the Ramban says in Pasuk Dalet, Simlascha lo vasami alecha v'ragalcha lo vatzeka, that your garments will not be become shorn from upon you. They won't be hurt, and your v'ragalcha lo vatzeka, and your feet will not become swollen. So Rashi explained what that meant was that the Anani HaKavod were going to clean the garments, and and your feet won't become swollen because they'll be taken care of. The Sivri Chavim pointed out that, well, wait a second, later on it talks about that the people had shoes. He says, yeah, those were only people that left Egypt, the people that were born in the Midbar, so they didn't necessarily have shoes. So there are others as well, however. He quotes Rashi's opinion. The Ramban then quotes the Ibn Ezra saying, about Rabbi Avram, Kasav, Achirim, Amukitziu, Malbushim, Rabin. He says, no, that's not what it was. Is that, very simply, they took a lot of clothing with them. When they left Mitzrayim, they brought... they had all the Egyptian stuff. That was part of the things that they got. They got all this clothing that they brought with them out of Egypt. He says, and besides that, how did the clothing get cleaned? I mean, it was 40 years. It's a pretty long time. He says, well, good news. All they ate in the Midbar was mun. And mun, part of the idea of mun was that they didn't have to worry about excrement. They didn't have to worry about going to the bath, about waste. because part of that is also they didn't have to worry about body waste either. They didn't sweat. So not only did they didn't have to wash their clothing either, because their clothing didn't get moist. And that answers another Shaila, and that is, where'd they buy deodorant in the Midbar? So now you know. They didn't have to worry about buying deodorant in the Midbar.
But the clothing gets dirty by other things.
It's under your sweat.
Besides sweat. Details.
Okay. I don't know. That's the Ibn Ezra. So Ibn Ezra really reads it as a very, not that this seems to say that wasn't even a nace. This was just like, you know, remember the kindness that Hashem did for you when you left Egypt, and that He made sure you had clothing to wear, and that you ate man, and therefore didn't have to get clean. I mean, even though the man part was a miracle, but the clothing part isn't talking about a specific miracle. I mean, Rashi saying, oh, it's talking about the miracle of the Ananiya Kavod, that you can go and brush up against the Ananiya Kavod and all your clothing would be cleaned right away. So Ibn Ezra says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that they just had a lot of clothes. Yeah.
They had a lot of clothes for the week it was going to take to get to Eretz Yisrael, but it took them 40 years. So there's a lot of wear and tear in 40 years.
Yeah, so let's continue. So continue on a little bit. So Ramban doesn't like this so much. He says, and also that their feet didn't become swollen because they got strength. They didn't walk very fast. They walked slowly, and therefore their feet were okay. So and the Ramban turns around and says, "Ve'ein dvar of nechonim." He says, however, I don't think what they're saying is correct. He says, "Ki Moshe yasker lehem zeh lemar ki vasiyas hamitzus yeh lehem bazim uksus." What Moshe said to them, that sent this to them to say that because you did mitzvos, you will have food and clothing, v'yachlifu koach, and they'll have strength. Kasher chayu b'man arba'im shana v'hayu lehem simos, and just as they lived for 40 years and they had clothing, v'orach ragam lo yavo, and the road didn't affect their feet, v'akol m'maisenes, meaning all of it was miraculous. That everything will come from Hashem and you'll be taken care of. I mean, the whole point of the pasuk, says the Ramban, is to demonstrate that you will have miracles, that miraculous things will happen to you. And that's a little problematic because, wait a second, but the whole point is that there won't be miraculous things anymore. I mean, that it will be a more natural life, just you'll recognize the Yad Hashem, you'll recognize the hand of Hashem in everyday life. But nevertheless, that's what the Ramban says. He says, by the way, if you were to cover a beam with a new garment, the garment would wear out in 40 years, even though the beam had no perspiration. Afki eno shrima. He says, how much more? This is the pasuk in Iov, I think, where he, like, how much more a man who's like a maggot, which is the pasuk in Iov, meaning that you will, right, that's your question. I mean, even though it says, yeah, great, you had a lot of clothing, but 40 years is 40 years. So the answer is, yeah, that's why the Ramban disagrees and says, no, there was a miraculous intervention when it came to their clothing. I don't know, as I was learning this, I had the image from Seinfeld when he talks about dry cleaners, and he says, what does it mean, dry cleaning? Is this just a bunch of guys in the back scratching off? All right, anyways, all right, what else? There's a Ramban here that I wanted to do. I forget which one. All right, so then as you move a little bit further along, so in Pasuk Tes 9, it says, Eretz asher lo b'miskinus til chabal lechem, lo techsar kolba, that you're not going to be lacking for bed, lo techsar kolba, you're not going to be missing anything there. That it's the land that has iron and the land that has copper. Just for the record, yes, you'll be able to mine copper. That's the way it's described here in this translation. So, Nechoshes, right, translated as copper. So the no, wasn't what they want to see. Wasn't that? This is really hard. You know, let's go back a little. Pasuk Zion. In Pasuk Zion, it says, "Ki Hashem lekechem b'vicha," that you're going to bring to the good land, the land of flowing water. I know su smosu simba vikav vahar. That all these different types of flowingness, our land with streams of water, springs and waters, and that's coming forth of the valley of the mountain. So the Sforno makes a comment, shenikbatsu ba minei hatovos shelo yikbitsu begalil zulaso, that it gathers together all these different types of goodness that are not gathered together in any other land, which is a fascinating thing. And he says, the Sefer Chameshas minei hatov, it actually mentions tov under five things, and he refers to those five things over the rest of his commentary. But that line that gathers all these things together in Eretz Yisrael, like you will not find anywhere else. I think it's probably true.
So then where's the petroleum?
What are the five things?
Oh, the five things that he says, Eretz Asher Hu, the Nachalei Mayim, that there's water, that it refers to them as good. Hashenu Eretz Litasora, that land, five things mentioned as Eretz. Eretz Litasora, the land of wheat and barley that you need to eat. And it says the third is Eretz Zayis Shemen Udvash, which are ways of sweetness or nice additions. Veravihi Eretz Asher Lubi Miskinus, the land where you will not be lacking bread, and you'll be able to find whatever you need. Shemisu Bami, you'll be able to find it will be less expensive. And the fifth one is Eretz Asher Hu Avinah Barzel, Shaba Nimsa Riboy Avanim Kashus of Hirus. You'll be able to find good stones there in order to mine with. But those are the five aspects of the land. But what are the? I mean, you know, it's really amazing. Eretz Yisrael is that there's you can go, you can ski and be in the desert within a few hours, right? I mean, you could do it in Arizona too. But you don't have a beach in Arizona, or actually California too, right? And you have a beach in California, I guess. Yeah, but of course it will be the taxes are way too high there. Yes.
California is so much bigger. You have to drive far.
I guess they don't grow olives. About the only one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they grow olives or not.
I'll bet somewhere they do.
There's no other land that's equivalent. All right. Well, I have to figure it out.
I'm sure that's right.
You gotta find a few things that they have in Israel that they don't have in California.
Well, what happened then? The Arabs got old oil.
The Arabs.
Yeah.
Well, why did they give the Arabs all the oil?
Yeah, they got all the oil.
Yeah, so I think the idea of them getting all the oil is the equivalent of the difference between the Nile and in Israel. And that they compare in Israel to the Nile, that the Nile every year comes, and you don't have to worry about it. You know that that the land is always going to be watered every year. That's not something that you are nervous about, as opposed to Eretz Israel. We have to constantly be davening to Hashem in order to make sure that the rain comes. So perhaps the modern day Nile is oil.
Is the oil? Now we have gas.
But now there's gas. Now I read over Shabbos that they're talking about building a gas pipeline to Saudi Arabia. Can you imagine this?
Is that right?
Can you imagine this?
Dream.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and then they want to get it through the Negev because Saudi Arabia wants to stop having to go all the way. You know, it's very expensive to go through the Suez Canal.
What?
What? Saudi Arabia wants to pump their oil to Israel.
Okay.
In order to ship out of Israel. And they want Israel to send gas to Saudi Arabia through these pipelines.
Trading oil.
Can you imagine this? It's amazing.
Wow.
Crazy. Well, yeah. So Saudi Arabia doesn't have that much natural gas. Apparently not. I guess not.
I don't know.
All right. What else? I had one other Ramban here that I wanted to do. There. Okay, we'll do the Ramban Pasuk Yud Ches. I think that was a good one. So Pasuk Yud Ches, what does it say? V'zachartas Hashem Elokecha ki hu anosein lecha koach lasos chayel. You'll remember Hashem that He's the one who gives you strength for your wealth. So says the Ramban, Yadua ki Yisrael gibor v'anshi chayel lechama. Was it known that the Jews were mighty men, brave men of war? Or something like that. Was they likened to lions and to wolves? And they destroyed the Canaanite kings. Alkein Amar in Tachshov Kochi Veotzem Yadi Asaldi Asachayel Azeh. Therefore, Moshe says, if you think my strength and the might of my hand made me all this wealth, Tiskor Hashem Shehotzi Uscha Mitzrayim. You should remember that's really Hashem who took you out of Egypt. Voyelacha Hashem Koach Veotzem Yad Klal. And therefore, you really don't have any strength if not for the hand of Hashem that's helping you out. So, despite all of this goodness, you're going to have, it's going to be a constant challenge to remember that Hashem is the one who's really supporting. For instance, like the theme of Hu Lo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael does not refer, right, that he doesn't rest and he doesn't or doesn't sleep. The guardian of Israel is not referring to the Israeli Air Force. Rather, it is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is making sure that all these things is running and whose hand we're able to see how much more so every day in Eretz Yisrael. All right, stop here. Chag Sameach. We'll pick up in Mirsa Hashem tomorrow.